This is Robert Balgach, and welcome to the Black Swan Secrets podcast. Our focus here is to help you grow as a producer and as a business owner in the life insurance industry. Enjoy the ride. Disclaimer: past performance is not indicative of future results. Strategies discussed in this podcast may not be suitable for you, and you should make your own independent decision regarding them. This material does not take into account your particular objectives, financial situation, or needs, and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you.
All right, we'll see what we can do here. So I want to actually start off making this a little interactive here. And what I want people to do is to type in the chat there, what are the qualities that make up a top producer, right? And I'll start to get the ball rolling to just give you guys an example here. So Mitchell Brooks put consistency. That's exactly what I was going to say, showing up every single day and doing the thing. I was going to say consistency, but thanks, Mitchell. Get it going. What else you guys got there? Okay, action, inner drive, great. Positive, proactive. What else? What else? Grit, determination, for sure. Grit was one of the ones I had. Follow up, yep. Yep. What else? Anybody good? Tough skin, yep. Mentally tough. Follow the script, yep. Yep, with conversational flow, yep. Tonality, yep. What else we got? Never give up. That's right. Attitude, yep. Dials, keeping a positive mindset, absolutely. Discipline, yep. All those things. Somebody named the company Discipline and Grit. That is the name of my company. It is. training. That's right. Persistency. Yep. Yep. These are all, I agree with all these things, right? Keeping service in the forefront of your mind. Absolutely. Making sure we're doing what's best for these people, right? These are all things, right? So when we look at all these things now, all right, these are all things, right, that we can control, right? All these things are things that we can control. And how many of these things are due to your mindset? All of them, right? And the thing is you can do this, you know, in sports as well. You can write out the things that make a champion, right? And it's pretty funny because what you'll have is you'll have a list of things that make a champion in any kind of sport. So you take like soccer, right? Like a Lionel Messi, right? You're not going to list too many things about that guy that are going to be physical. You'll have a few things, but most of the things when you write out what makes a champion are all the other things, right? It's the mindset and how they do things, right? And so one of the things that they'll do is in sports psychology, you know, one of the things that I found out this year that sports psychology is really nothing other than like cognitive behavior therapy, right? So I didn't make up any of this kind of stuff. But you have what you have, your performance skills, right? And you also have your moral skills, right? So a lot of everything that people were talking about there for the most part were those performance skills, right? So hardworking, competitive, positive, determination, grit, consistent, you know, coachable, those types of things, disciplined, all those types of things. Those are your performance skills. And then you also have like your moral skills, right? So caring. Loyal, appreciative, respectful, humble, empathetic, right? And it's all about, we talk about all the time, controlling the controllables, right? And all those characteristics we came up with right there, those are all things that you can control, right? All those things. You guys can all develop those skills of a winner and a champion, right? And I was listening to Bill Beswick. You guys have heard me talk about, his book is awesome, by the way. You guys should get it. It's awesome. He was talking about, they were doing tryouts for the national team for Great Britain for basketball. And they were sitting around every night, the coaches during these tryouts. And the coaches were like, oh, I like this guy because, you know, he's fast. This guy, he can dribble and all these types of things. And they had the, you know, their top 12 list of the players that they liked. And at the then at the end, Bill's like, well, what about this guy? And he wasn't on anybody's radar. And they're like, well, what do you like about this guy? And he's like, well, he's on time. He comes prepared every single day, right? His uniform is good to go. His shoes are looking tight. You know, he ties up his shoes the right way. He's enthusiastic, enjoys learning. He's coachable. He supports his teammates. You know, if you look at those characteristics, this guy's the best out of all of them. And he's like, we need to evaluate our players on two different things, right? You know, the things that they're doing, those intangible skills, right? And then the ones that they can control, like the mindset and all those types of things. And so what happened was they brought this player on the team and he was very low on the depth chart, right? It wasn't like very high, but he had a huge impact on that team and became a valuable player on the team. And really took things to that next level, right? One of the things that he talks about too with Bill Beswick is in terms of controlling the controllables, like those things, those attitude things, those are all things you can control. Good example of that too is Michael Phelps going into one of the Olympics. I can't remember how far out it was, but it was very close. He broke his wrist, right? And they're like, okay, this is a problem, right? And you know, going into the Olympic trials and everything else. And one of the things was his coach came in with the doctor and they're like, listen, they're like, he's going to be gone for a bunch of weeks. And they're like, that's not acceptable. What can we do? And they're like, there's nothing you can do. He's like, well, if we put a pin in it, there's no need to put a pin in this. He's like, if we put a pin in this, will we be ready to go sooner? They're like, yeah. They're like, you're going to put a pin in it. So that's what they did. They pinned it up and then they got Michael in the pool. Kind of not, wasn't really supposed to do it. You know, they probably put the bag over the arm, duct taped it all up and everything like that. And he just kicked and kicked and kicked and kicked. He focused in on what he could control. Then he got on the side of the pool. He rode on the stationary bike for like an hour every single day. And they worked on what they could control, controlling those controllables, right? And, you know, when we look at these characteristics that players have, one of my favorite stories about this too is from Pep Guardiola, a really good coach, coaches Manchester City right now. And he was talking about if he had to choose one player to win a game, he would choose a guy named Sergio Busquets, right? And Sergio, he's a very good player. He's won a lot of things and everything like that, but he's kind of like not a guy that you would really jumps out at you all the time with what he does and how he contributes. But what happened was Pep Guardiola saw this guy. He's like, okay, I think this guy's a really good talent. And what he noticed is he could put this guy on any team in practice. A lot of time they do five-a-side games, so 5-on-5. He could literally put that guy on any team and they would win. And he started stacking his teams up with like the worst players he could. He was trying to find ways to make his team win and he couldn't do it. He's like, every time this guy is on this team, they're winning, right? And they talk about the things that he has and that he brings to a team, right? And so one of the things that he had was his communication skills. So he's a great communicator. He's able to clearly and concisely communicate his instructions to his teammates. He also gives positive and constructive feedback, right? He's a very positive guy, right? So always looking to encourage his teammates. This helps to create a positive team environment, right? He's a good example. So he sets a high standard of professionalism and is a role model for his teammates. He's always on time to training and matches. He always works hard. He also has a good attitude and is respectful to everybody. And lastly, he's got a lot of humility, right? He's always willing to learn and improve, and he's never afraid to admit when he makes a mistake, and it just makes him a really likable and respectful guy, right? So again, controlling those controllables, right? So if we look at these types of things too, is going through another book right now, a guy named Greg Hardin, right? He's a sports psychologist at University of Michigan. And he was the guy that Tom Brady went to when he was struggling at Michigan. And, you know, I talked about him a few weeks back, Brady, and it was pretty interesting to hear Hardin's story about Brady. So Brady walks into his office and he's like, he was not looking good, right? Because what had happened was Brady had gotten appendicitis one summer and he lost 25 pounds. And so he was looking pretty skinny. You know, he's a pretty tall guy and everything like that. And he comes in and he's like, you know, I'm fifth on the depth chart. You know, the coaches don't believe in me. What happened too is the quarterback coach that recruited him to come in left. All right. So Brady was already on the fifth on the depth chart. New QB coach comes in. He's like, I don't like this guy. I don't think he's got it. Right. And he's just not getting a shot. And he's just like, listen, I don't know what to do. They don't believe in me. And Arden's like, yeah, you're right. They don't. Right. And he's like, I don't know what to tell you. He's like, I'm not going to help you become the starter here. And he's like, okay. He goes, and he's like, you know, and then he goes, but what I can do is that I can help you to believe that you're a starter. I can help you to believe that you're capable and qualified and confident, right, to be that starter, right? So what did he start doing? He started focusing in on what he could control, right? So he's like, listen, he said this to Tom, he's like, your day is going to come, you better be ready, right? Something's going to happen. You're going to get those opportunities. You better be ready to take them, right? So Brady got in there. He watched more film than anybody, right? He didn't just watch the offensive film. He went in there, started watching all the defensive film too. He sat in on the defensive film sessions too, to understand things better, right? And I don't know if you've ever seen Brady break down film, but it's crazy. He'll break it down. You go, see that? They're like, what? He's like, see how this guy's toe is placed right here before we start this play? He's like, that guy's telling me X, Y, and Z. Just by that, right? That's what happens with those tons and tons of reps of looking at these things, right? So he watched more film than anybody, and he just got in the weight room, right? He's 25 pounds down, and they actually had to tell him to go home because he got so into working out and everything like that. So what happened was, he's like, listen, he's like, well, I'm only getting two reps at practice. He's like, well, you better make the best of those. And that's what he did. He's like, all right, I'm going to make the best of those. I'm going to come in here. I'm going to execute on these to the best I can. And he did, right? He got those two reps. He did the best he could with those two reps. He executed on those two reps. And then things started progressing from there. And then he goes on to, he had one of the best performances in a bowl game that anybody's ever seen, right? So he got four TDs in the Orange Bowl against Alabama. And two times during that game, they were down by 14 points, right? So he had a really good senior season, had that performance. Then he's just like, all right, I'm getting drafted. I'm going to the NFL. I'm the freaking man. And then first day in the draft goes by, and he's like, oh, my God. He's like, this is bad. And he talked to Harden, Greg Harden. He's like, I don't know. He's like, he was in a pretty bad state. And he basically got picked almost one of the very last picks, right, in the draft. And then, again, goes to New England though. He's like, okay, I've been here before. Same deal. I'm just going to grind it out, work it out. And then that kind of attitude and that kind of adversity he used, but he focused in on what he could control and doing the best he could. And when his opportunity came, he took advantage of it. Right. So if we look at just the studies on this, so 2014 study published in the Journal of Psychology and Science found that people who focus on what they can control are more likely to achieve their goals, right? The study found that people who were given instructions to focus on what they can control were more likely to persist in the face of challenges or were more likely to achieve their goals than people who were not given these instructions. Another 2015 study published in the Journal of Personal and Social Psychology Bulletin found that people who focus on what they can control are less likely to experience stress and anxiety. All right. This study also found that people who were instructed to focus on what they can control when faced with stressful situations had lower levels of cortisol, a stress hormone, and then those people were not given these instructions. And then the last study here is a 2016 study published in the Journal of Happiness Studies found that people who focus on what they control are more likely to be happy and satisfied with their lives, right? The study also found that people who had a greater sense of control over their lives were happier and more satisfied with their lives than people who had a lesser sense of control over their lives, right? So one of the things is that you can control what you think, right? And you can control your actions, right? And one of the things too is that you don't have to believe everything you think, because sometimes we can have some pretty crazy thoughts about, here we go again, right? Or whatever it may be. But you have the ability to choose if you want to believe that, and you can change that thought, right? And so here's the thing, all right? So we're going to give you three steps, right, to put this in action, okay? So here's the one thing. Right. You're going to know what your goal is here. Okay. And you're going to write down what are the key factors for your success. Write those things down. All right. And then you're going to write down what are the key things you can control and can't control. Write those things down. And the things you can't control, don't worry about those. Right. Don't worry about those things. It is what it is. Okay. And then if you fail because of those uncontrollables, you have to just accept it and move on. Right. It is what it is. You don't worry about that. You focus in on what you can control. Now, one of the things is the week isn't over, right? The numbers don't look great kind of overall with a lot of people, but the week is not over. And all the top producers here can tell you that they've had it where they had no sales. They get to Friday and then all of a sudden they get five in a row, right? Right. I can see Marsha talking about shaking her head. Marsha, do you remember a time when that's happened to you in the past? Do you want to share a story?
I put a number of times. Yeah. It's Carrie was even talking about that the other day. You're laying down those seeds and then all of a sudden, boom, boom, boom. So never, ever give up hope. And if I don't get what I want Monday through Thursday, I have Friday and I have Saturday morning too. Afternoon if I really needed it. But you don't stop just because Thursday hits. If I don't make my goals, nobody here tells me to do it, but I tell me to do it. How are you going to achieve otherwise, right?
Yeah. And Doc Lee's been out in the field. He was used to doing things face to face. Do you remember a time when it's like it's Thursday and you're like, nothing's really going on here, and you were able to turn it around?
Well, not only Coach K have I seen it, but I mean, for me personally,
yeah.
But I've had that experience with so many agents that I would have that conversation with them, right? Where they're Monday, just they're in panic mode. I didn't get anything. I said, don't worry about it. Just marry the process. They go through Tuesday, nothing. Third Wednesday, nothing. Thursday, and like you just stated, come Thursday night or Friday afternoon, they've put in five or six policies, and I'm like, now looking back at it, was the week really that bad? And all of a sudden, now when they have 2,000, 3,000 deposits in 1 week, all of a sudden, when they put things in perspective, it wasn't that bad. It was just part of the process. So you're absolutely correct.
Yeah. And I know, Robert, you've had those situations where you're out in the field driving around everywhere, right?
Oh, I still remember my most memorable streak is 0-for-18, where I sat down on 18 appointments face-to-face. I got nothing. It was terrible. Like Dick likes to say, I could not sell guns in a prison riot. The problem is I was not in a prison. I was at a shooting range, okay? So I was in the wrong environment. And sometimes you just got to get those batches. And next week I was 14 for 14. So it's kind of crazy. But this business is a business of mean reversion. You're going to have some great weeks. You're going to have some terrible weeks. Most of them are going to be somewhere in the middle. And what we know consistently, if somebody puts in X amount of dollars, let's call this $1,000 into leads as a marketing budget, you are going to get between 3 and 5X on that money. It might take a couple of weeks to go and get it from that particular batch. But those are the numbers. They have been there for the last 6 years. Nothing really changed, except we're doing instant e-apps versus paper apps. If you really want to give me PTSD, Carrie, let's talk about paper apps, how painful that process was, okay? So it's part of the game. It's part of the game. It's part of the process, and it's not over yet. And let's see what happens today. Mean reversion is just around the corner.
That's it. Just controlling those controllables. And I would encourage you to write down the top three things that you want to control that you think if you do those things, it's going to have a huge impact on your results. Do that for a month straight, see what happens.